Beloved Master, I'm filled with so much happiness and love after this primal group. It has been amazing for me. It was so good and a big relief to let my anger come out, and especially let myself feel angry at my mother, something that I have been protecting since she has been so kind and helpful to me. I could never let myself feel this anger towards her before. I was throwing out so much anger, and at the same time, I felt so much love in it. It opened up some more places for love and gratefulness. I've been going totally ecstatic, and it's so much fun being a kid again. I feel that to share these days with some of the friends from the Sangha has brought us even closer. For me, the trust and love for them has grown. Their body is still a bit shaky and vibrating, so to go into this sacred silence now, I feel is just perfect. It is such a gift to sit at your feet and melt even more into this love and this delicious silence. Thank you. We are so blessed. At your feet, beloved Master, from a happy, loving heart, Kumud. Where's Kumud? Can't even see her there, Kumud. You're having a cold? Been screaming too much, that's good. You feel so much happiness and love after the group. That's how it is. You have to go through some hardship to enjoy, just to relax. It has been amazing for me. It was so good and a big relief to let my anger come out. I know all these things very good, and I'm so happy that in one way or the other I can manage to get you to see it yourself. Because I don't work with those kind of things. It's what I call the homework. And I remember a long time ago when we first got Dharma Mountain, and I know from my experience that many people come and you can be very happy sitting here in satsang because the energy is such. But still you have a lot of unsolved things in you. Like this anger, this frustration, these fears, these projections. And it's impossible for me to take you into your silent depth of being. If that is not released. But you are afraid at the same time. Everybody is afraid looking at themselves. So I'm trying this way and that way. And even that time when we came, I remember I asked Mangala and Rishi, because they've been doing that kind of work, and myself also. But I was totally It's impossible to do hardly. Only to eat is enough. And then I ask them, and then they say, no, please, please, Baba, no, no. We just want to sit with you. No more. We just want to sit in silence with you. We just want to be with you like that. And then what can I do? Okay, just sit. But something always happens by itself. And I'm happy, Kumud, that you feel it, because you also, you were sitting in a lot. And many people sit in a lot. You might be a goody-goody. You might be think you're a very spiritual person. You might sit on a lot of anger, a lot of projections. And all that is between you and your silent heart, between you and meditation, between you and the Master. Everything you hear will go through all that stuff. So it's very difficult for me to reach you. It will be projection after projection. Know when you clean out in one way or the other, and know you will also understand when you have the knack of it, that you can just do it in dynamic, or you can just dance and scream at home. But you need help to see that it's possible. Otherwise, you're holding yourself back. It is so good and a big relief to let my anger come out. Of course, it's very uncomfortable to carry all that anger inside. It's very uncomfortable to carry all that fear inside. It's very uncomfortable to carry unnecessary luggage. It's heavy. And everything that I'm doing here, and all these groups and therapies and meditation, whatever it is just to unburden you, to give you a relief from your fear, from your anger, from your protection, from your ego. So you can just be more and more yourself, more and more in tune. So you can more and more just sit and be available what is served in satsang. So you can just sit in your own silent being. And that's what satsang should be. Just being together in that space. That loving, truthful space where there is nothing in between except truth and love itself. But it's not so easy because everybody is carrying so much. And many is not a true seeker when they come, because the doors are open. Any fool can stumble in the door. The real seekers is far and few in between. But the Master can ignite that in you. In some mysterious way, it can ignite it. No matter how cold you are, it can ignite the fire in your heart, in your being. And then you want more because it's so nice, it's so good. It's so exciting that in spite of yourself, you do things that you will never dream about. And especially let me feel angry at my mother, something that I have been protecting since she has been so kind and helpful to me. The mother is almost always very helpful to the children. What else? But that doesn't mean that she is conscious. And remember, unconscious help can even harm you. What you think is help. out of unconsciousness, if a person is unconscious and sitting on all the anger, even if he smiles to you and hugs you, it can be very harmful because he doesn't really mean it. He's just a product of society, or what it is to be good and bad. And if a Buddha hits you, it's just out of his compassion for you to wake up. So things is not always as they seem. And that's why it's important. The first thing is to let go of the past. And if you haven't let go of your past, how can you move on then? It's a very uphill journey. You have to be very light. You cannot carry your mother, your grandparents, and everybody. You have more than enough with yourself. But this only happens out of understanding, only out of facing yourself, facing the truth, seeing things as they are. And the mystery is that then you only will get more love. Then only you will really love your mother, everybody, because you will see the situation and you will be able to forgive. You can only forgive and see if you see things as they are. Otherwise, you can try. But in understanding, there is no trying. It happens out of itself. It happens out of the understanding. I was throwing out so much anger, and at the same time I felt so much love in it. It opened up more, a place for love and gratefulness. And sometimes you need help because you cannot listening just how easy it is. You cannot believe it. Of course it feels good to emptying out, but you have to taste it to realize it. Either you can have that much anger and frustration in you, or you can empty it, exchange it with the nectar of peace, of understanding, of clarity. That is the transformation. And in every way, I'm teaching you the transformation. And the first thing is to change the negativity, the darkness, the anger, all these things into the positive. That I have told you so many times. But now it's your own experience. And for some people, it happens yesterday, some people today, some people tomorrow. Now you have made a foundation to live. Now you felt a joy in life. How can you go into meditation? How can you go on a journey with me into silence, into ecstasy, if you're not happy? It's impossible. You have to work first to transform your darkness into light. And to do that, you have to feel yourself, and you have to, out of where you are, you have to become responsible, and you have to take action. There is a time for action, and there is a time for no action. Don't fool yourself. that no action that comes in the end comes by itself, is nothing you have to do. And when you have all these angers and fears in you, then it will only be a fight, because it's unconscious. It's, you haven't let them loose, so they will come in very strange moments. You will fight yourself because you are carrying it, and you will fight the master because you have not let them out. It's too much to keep control of. It's like ghosts, they pop their heads up whenever they want. But when you have unburdened yourself and you have seen that you are can be happy, that means now you start gaining mastery over yourself, over the anger. And it's so easy. I feel that to share these days with some of the friends from the Sangha has brought us even closer. For me, the trust and love for them has grown. Because it has grown in you. You will only be able to see that and feel that in others when it has grown in you. Otherwise, you will always be suspicious, on guard. Because you are protecting so much unconscious in you. You cannot just be open. When you are clean, when you are open, when you are available, then what is there to hide? Then you can meet people and see people as they are. You have to break down your own image of who you are. And that's another thing that is happening here. And then you will feel very good, you will feel very happy. One has to, that is one of the things. You are longing for it, but it's so difficult for it to happen. I have to break your own idea of who you are to see who you really are. The body is still a bit shaky and vibrating, so to go into this sacred silence now, I feel is perfect. Everything is perfect. And again, I'm happy that at least you get the sign that now everything is perfect. It's perfect and perfect and perfect and perfect and perfect and again perfect. What could be more perfect? You are here. You are alive. Not only you are alive, but look where you are. What more do you want? Who is it that is not satisfied? What is it that is still on guard? It is such a gift to soon sit at your feet and melt even more into this love and this delicious silence. I'm happy, Kumud, that now you can be available for something that is always available, but you might be away from. Melt and melt again into this delicious silence. I am like the dessert, but first maybe you have to eat other things, and then you can enjoy the dessert. At your feet, beloved Master, love from a happy, loving heart. And let it be a reminder that only when you are alive and happy that your life juices is really there. Only then can you go into silence. Otherwise, silence is terrible. And that's how it is all over the world. People try to go into silence, but they are not prepared for silence. They are so full of anger, frustration, fear. They have never looked at themselves. It's not so easy just to book a week of Vipassana with some Thai monk or something, Tibetan master. And then you sit there like a fool. And you say, oh, Mani Padme, just be quiet. No. They just fool themselves. I have seen all this, and especially the Westerners, they're having such a hard time. Very few people are ready because they have so much luggage. It doesn't matter if it's here or in the Buddhist countries. In Thailand, there are so many monks also. Very, very few is ready for it. It's just a tradition. They are dreaming to go to town, to Bangkok, to party. Your mind has to be mature. You have to see things as they are. You have to be ready to go into meditation. You can't do it. You have to prepare yourself. Silence is the dessert. Meditation is the dessert. I am the dessert. But maybe you don't understand me. You don't understand silence. You don't understand meditation when you first come. You have to prepare the ground. And that makes it worth it, because only then can you really appreciate it. No, you have done something for it. You have worked for it. Ah, how good it is just to be. It is a gift. It's such a gift to sit at your feet and melt even more into this love and this delicious silence. Thank you. We are so blessed. We are all blessed.
Moonlight streaming through this temple door. I'm seeing myself like I never did before. Seeing myself through the eyes of an angel, through the eyes of an angel. Stand upon. watching the holy river, completing the things I left undone, and I fly.
I will take you back to little Zen stories now. Kakua was the first Japanese to study farting in China. No. Sorry. To study Zen in China. But they have some similarities, Zen and farting, because it happens in the moment. And both is very unpredictable. You never know when it's going to happen, or if it happens. It comes from the beyond. And even you don't have control over it. So just give yourself over. This Kakua, he was the first Japanese to study Zen in China. And this story, this little story, is the only story that we know about him. And remember, Zen first came to China because the teaching of the great Buddha came from India with Bodhidharma, who must be quite a guy walking over the Himalayas in those days, 2,000 years ago. He was like a wild man. So now it had spread around China, and there must be some rumors going to Japan, no? About this new beautiful teaching about the Buddha. So this Kakuan, he must have been really a seeker. And that's what I mean, it's only one in millions who is ready to risk everything. And to go from Japan to China in those days, it was not easy. And just by something he have heard, but he must have felt it. These kind of people are very few and far in between. And while he was there, he accepted the true teaching. He accepted it. That is something for you also to take in, because it means that he was no more fighting. He was no longer under the spell of the mind. Only then can you accept the great teaching, the truth. You were no longer in the way. It has to be accepted. You have to bow down. You have to accept. You have to surrender. Only then can it be received. While he was there, he accepted the true teaching. When he was in China, he did not travel. He lived in a remote part of the mountain and meditated constantly. No, he must have found a real master. Then why travel? He lived in a remote part of the mountains and meditated constantly. That means he was all the time in the moment. Because he had to do things. He had to have food. He had to work. He had to catch firewood. But he was all the time focused. He was all the time in the moment. He was all the time present. And that's what the Zen people say, sitting in Zen, walking in Zen. Whatever you do, you are present. When he was in China, he did not travel. He lived in a remote part of the mountain and meditated constantly. Whenever people found him and asked him to preach, he would say a few words and then move quickly to another part of the mountains where he could be found less easily. That is also a sign of a true meditator, because he knows that he needs to go deeper. He doesn't want to be disturbed. What he has found is so precious. No, he wants to have roots in it. Already he has left the society, the world, Japan, everything that he knew, his family. But even these people who came to ask him, like a wise man, like a master, he wasn't interested. He said a few things, a few hints, not much. And then he disappeared even further into the mountains. That's also another thing to remember. You should never speak before you are ready to speak. he had something, but he was not ready. He was not interested. He wanted to go deeper. He wanted to go more, be more settled in the silence, in the meditation. He wanted to be more steady. That was his whole focus. He was not interested to teach others. And that can always be a temptation of the ego. You want to be somebody, you want to say something. Yes, maybe you have some insight. But if you are not totally clean, the ego will take it that you know more. He didn't want to get tricked into it. He just disappeared deeper into the mountains, into himself. Which is another way to say deeper into the mountains. Because the mountains for the Zen people, for the Taoist, that is also a meaning that is your inner. The mountains in the world has always been away from people. It's not for most of the humans to live because it's too harsh. It's too wild. The human beings, they live in the city. They live on the plains where it's more comfortable, more easy. Very few live. You have to be strong to live in the mountains. You have to be self-sufficient. You have to be ready to be in nature. And that is the same with the inner. You have to be self-sufficient. So you have the inner mountains and you have the outer mountains. You have the outer stars, you have the inner stars. You have the outer silence, you have the inner silence. And the mountains always help you to get in touch with your inner silence. That's another reason why always the meditators, the seekers, has been drawn to silent places, to the mountains. Because you need help. And when it's silent and quiet and harmonious outside, then it's much easier for you to meditate, to be quiet inside, of course. It's very difficult to meditate in the city when it's noisy. You have to put yourself in places that support what you want. You don't move to Wall Street if you want to be a meditator. And a banker definitely doesn't go to the mountains. He will feel at loss. So you have to put yourself, which I have said many, many times, be aware where you put yourself, who you are with, how you live. Because all that is going to influence you. When you get responsibility over yourself, then you start taking notice how you live, how you function. So he was very clear, even though he was deep in himself, deep in the mountains, he disappeared even deeper. He was not interested. He was far beyond being disturbed by the society or the people or the city or the desires or any games, but not even to teach. He was not interested. He wanted to be more settled. When Kakua returned to Japan, even the emperor heard about him and asked him to come to court to preach Zen for the good of himself and his people. Now, he has returned to Japan, and now he is a Buddha in himself. He is self-realized. And that was the beauty in those days, that even the emperor heard about it. They were interested. They wanted to be in touch with the master. They knew, even the emperor knew, I'm an emperor, but that's not everything. And that is the beautiful thing also with Buddhism. It reminds you of that. The emperor heard about him and asked him to come to court to preach Zen for the good of the country, himself and his people. Kakua stood before the emperor in silence. He then produced the flute from the folds of his robes and blew a short note, bowed politely, and then disappeared. No one ever knew what happened to him. This is the sign of somebody who is totally himself. He doesn't care of any fame, any recognition, anything. And another thing also is very difficult to teach Zen, if it's real. And this man, Kakuan, he was a real man. How to teach Zen, how to teach silence, how to teach meditation is almost impossible. How could the emperor expect to know something? You have to become a disciple. That is the tradition of Zen. That is the tradition on all the paths. You have to find a master. You have to become a disciple. You have to follow. That is the only way to get in tune. You cannot teach it. It is beyond teaching, but in some mysterious way you can catch it. You can get the knack of it. But only by being with the master, only by being with truth. The emperor asked him to come to court to preach Zen. Kakuan stood before the emperor in silence. First, he did what was most natural for him. He wanted to have a sermon on silence, on Zen. He just stood there in silence. But that he knows, or he realized very quickly, he must have known from before, because all enlightened people know that people are so dense, they can't see the silence. Even if a Buddha is in front of them, they can't recognize that, because they only see the form. All the masters want to just be in silence. This is silence, they are just there. But you are not ready to just be in silence. You don't understand silence because you haven't met that silence in yourself. You have to nurture that. You have to come back to it. Then more and more you can just be in harmony with silence, with the master. When the mind is not there, disturbing the silence. So first he just stood in silence. Then he produced a flute from the folds of his robes and blew a short note. That was the second best. Just a little flute music. Then maybe the silence becomes even deeper when you have music and you stop it. And everything, if you are really listening to a kakuan, then everything will become like music. But this kakuan, he also didn't have the gift of talking, it seems. Because one can be enlightened, but it's not necessary that you can teach. It's much more difficult to teach that which is you can't talk about. Many people get enlightened and they just stay in silence. They have nothing to say. That's what Kakuan wanted to do, and that's what he did. He just bowed and disappeared, and nobody ever heard anything. They don't know what happened to him. He must have just moved back into the mountains of Japan and lived quietly. It is a big art to teach, to talk about that. It's not everybody, even if you get enlightened, who can teach about it, who can talk about it. But that is how it is. Even the emperor wanted him to teach him about Zen. But it's not easy. It has never been easy. You cannot just have a sermon and then you understand Zen. You have to dive deep into it. You have to be a kakuan. You have to be somebody who is total, who is devoted to the teaching, who is not wishy-washy. It cannot just be an interest. Yes, maybe in the beginning it's just an interest, but then it has to become the whole life. But Kakuan, he just disappeared. Kakuan stood before the emperor in silence. Then he produced the flute from the folds of his robes, blew a short note, bowed politely, and disappeared. And no one ever knew what happened. This is the only story that there is about this beautiful man. So be very happy that some of these kakuans comes down from the mountain and is willing to talk to all those coconuts and stone heads. Hariyom. To understand Kakuan, you have to become very silent, very receptive, very trusting, very loving.
day.